Hello, welcome back to the Atlantic Hour. I'm Eva.
I'm Tom. That was our most extreme intro yet.
Sorry, I didn't realise that the mic was recording when I started singing. We unfortunately are not joined by James. He is back at home, well, his second home.
Yeah.
In London, doing probably quite important things, you don't know. So it's just us. It's like two children left to run the house.
Exactly.
Basically.
We're gonna have so much more fun.
I know. This probably won't even get aired.
No, yeah, we have done one of these before, and we.
It's yet to be released. Has it been released yet?
No, it's not been released.
Really?
Yeah.
James gets a bit sheepish every time I ask him about it, so we'll see. Anyway,
it's also updated now.
Yeah, probably.
But some great points in it.
Some great points. This week has been maybe slightly more positive in terms of, well, not positive, but I feel like there's been less scary stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think anything like dramatic things have happened, but they're not as terrifying as, you know, the Riviera of the Middle East.
Yeah, no one's home's getting turned into a hotel this week.
Next week, James is back.
When James is back. James seems to bring this.
So I think we're going to talk about the general elections, which have seen a rise in kind of right radical politics. We'll talk about Ukraine, Trump, mineral concessions being made. We're going to talk about Keir Starmer and his defence.
We can talk about Keir Starmer.
His defence budget.
Yeah.
Which is controversial.
Yes, it is.
In some areas. Basically three main things. Only two of them revolve around the US, basically.
So we're slowly transitioning.
I know.
One week we won't mention the US once.
Yeah, and
that's
this
our goal
and
for
this
the
time
year.
We're not going to be told to give a 150 year Russian history course.
Yeah, but after 5 minutes after turning up into the room,
and James actually prepared, so it looked like we were stupid. And
yeah,
it's really been haunting me that I didn't know when the difference between the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fall of the USSR. But now I do. So
I think
it's
next
fine.
Week we should like prepare like a long history of
like Greece.
Yeah, like Greece or some like whatever country's in the news next week. There will be a long history
Let's
discussion and James will be clueless.
He probably would like silence us.
He might silence us, but I will not be silenced.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
I cannot believe I was asked to do that at 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was.
Yeah, so upsetting. Anyway, enough chit chat.
Enough banter.
We're going to talk about Germany. So if you don't know, Friedrich Merz, who is the leader of the Christian Conservative Party, which is sort of not super far right, but far right, not really liberal, centre
like
far right.
Centre right, yeah.
Basically.
So sort of the classic Tory party, like the 2010s Tory party.
Yeah, exactly. So he won, which isn't unexpected. We knew he was going to win, but what is unexpected is how much he won by. When, if you look at the polls, there were times when we thought he was going to get quite a clear majority, when he was like 30%. And he won, I can't remember the exact, he won 28.6%, and which isn't enough to run the German government by himself, so he has to form a coalition, which I think he's going to form with the SPD. But what's more interesting is the AfD won 20.8% of the vote. The AfD is just not a nice party.
Alternative for Deutschland, and there are lots of technically, AfD cannot form a government, even if they did win the majority, because there are laws in Germany that prevent far-right parties coming into power.
Yeah.
I think one of them came into power in the past. I don't remember it.
But. Yeah, and that's why, basically, Olaf Scholz, who was the previous German chancellor, when Vance gave a speech at Munich a couple of weeks ago, Vance said to European leaders, you need to stop preventing the AfD from getting into government. Olaf Scholz said he was violating a principle which was set up after World War II that basically would prevent any future right radical parties like the Nazis coming into power in Germany. But a little background on the AfD. The leader, Alice Weidel, her grandfather was part of the Nazi Party.
It's never a great start.
A great start. And she, the one thing I found weird, so she's dating, or she's married to a Sri Lankan woman, but she doesn't call herself queer. She was like, I'm not queer. Those are her exact words.
Right, you know, she is what she says she is.
I know, for real. Good for her. But so Elon Musk is basically using that. He was like, well, she can't be this, like, this awful person.
She can't be far right because she's gay.
Yeah, basically. But that's not really important to the German politics. So she's obviously anti-immigration, and just kind of all for... She played on the Nazi term war for Deutschland, all for Germany. And if you look at... Have you seen the election map? So
yes.
It's... When Germany was split between West and East Germany, if you look at which parts of Germany voted for the AfD and which parts voted mainly for the Christian Democratic Party, basically all of East Germany voted for the AfD.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I've been trying to figure out why that's the case.
Well, I guess they're the. If you think about, see what James said, German history. We're gonna do 100 years of
German history.
So after World War II, obviously Germany split into East and West. East is not probably as prosperous as the West. Yeah. I imagine that probably still exists now. I'm not an East German expert, but I imagine that probably living conditions are worse in the East than the West. When you think about most, obviously Berlin's in the East, but the rest of the major cities are in the West. Bavaria and sort of all the richer regions are in the West. You sort of think maybe that's sort of where, and it's the same areas like in the UK, we've seen the Reform Party are strongest in areas where there's sort of a lot of less well-off, especially white people, and I imagine that's the large proportion in the East of Germany.
Yes, but even if you see in Berlin, the split is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So West Berlin is more... CDU, SPD, and East Berlin is AfD, which is interesting, I'd say so. It's like the correlation between economics and politics.
Yeah, it's just very striking that it's literally...
The exact same.
Yeah, if you're going to cut Germany basically down the middle...
I mean, like, every single district and jurisdiction, like, it's...
Yeah, I think there's one AfD in the west of Germany.
Yeah, and it's
one
random,
SPD in the east. And like,
it's insane, it's incredible. So history does repeat itself, is the moral of the story.
Yeah, you didn't need to put a wall up. They did it themselves.
Yeah, did it themselves, basically. Okay, moving on from Germany. I feel like that's... Well, okay. We can talk about Starmer.
Yes.
And his... If we kind of want to stick to Europe. So basically, Starmer has announced that he's going to increase defence spending up till 2.5% by 2027. And in order to do that, he's going to decrease international aid.
Yeah, so it's basically a less extreme version of what America's doing.
Of what Trump did, yeah.
And this all comes a week before. He's supposed to meet Trump this week.
Yes.
So this is sort of a... You know, this could probably be seen as a sort of bending the knee, sort of going like, we obviously see what you want to do. These guys in Europe aren't doing it.
Yeah,
we will.
I know.
This sort of demonstrates the UK is maybe... Again, trying to sort of side with America and seeing what they can get out of this, which I just don't think is going to work, personally.
I think we made a world, or especially Europe's been created in the last 80 years, and it's so dependent on the US.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's... I mean, basically, since World War II, we've just relied on American, like, the American economy. It's just like dependence now, and I think no one's really brought that into question. And now the UK's not part of Europe anymore, but Europe is kind of trying to figure out how they can go about the next couple of years or however long after that, not having their main ally by their side or not being able to rely on
America.
There
was sort of a very awkward press conference with Macron and Trump.
Yeah.
Where, like, obviously Europe is much more in favour. It seems like America sided with Russia, weirdly, in this whole Russia-Ukraine conflict. So it's sort of like quite an awkward press conference where Macron is basically going like, oh, we don't want Ukraine to lose, right, buddy? And Trump's going, well, you know,
we'll see what we can do.
I would like some minerals, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems not quite interesting. Obviously, the timing is very deliberate. The US Secretary of Defense, who used to be on TV and now is the Secretary of Defense,
they all went on TV,
has said that, you know, it's a good step for the UK. I wonder how extreme we're going to go with this sort of matching of, because ultimately Labour were elected on a much different platform than Donald Trump, but it seems like if you want to be in his good books, it's sort of his way or the highway.
Yeah.
So like, how much will Labour stray from their philosophy to, you know, the UK has arguably put in, well, not arguably, the UK has put in a lot into Ukraine.
Yes.
I assume that they're probably, I assume Keir Starmer's going there to see how much he can get out of this mineral deal or see what, because ultimately the UK's put in a lot of money as well.
Yeah.
Like given up a lot of our own military equipment.
Yeah, let me just see how much the UK.
Obviously it'll be like, America's given probably about hundreds of billions.
Yeah, the US given 119 billion, Europe's given 139, I believe.
But I think the UK is a country. I think they've given quite...
I'm just trying to see how much the UK has given. The UK has given... Since July 2024, the government has provided 5.26 billion in military aid and financial support, including a 3 billion annual military aid and 2.26 billion loan for military spending.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot. But quite a little country. Island.
Yeah, a small little island.
We're just small and just quite fragile at the moment.
We don't have a lot of money, and we're giving it to Ukraine.
I know, so you know.
And I guess the problem now is that it's looking like that. It's not, Ukraine aren't going to win. Like it doesn't seem like it seems now that, you know, Donald Trump gave Russia the we're not going to fund this forever. So
yeah,
you know, you can either wait it out or, you know, Ukraine can make a deal and we'll probably give them some money. But ultimately, I reckon Donald Trump is right. And that it probably will be over by the end of the year.
But it's not going to be over in 24 hours, as he said. False promises.
Yeah, that was a lie, and we shouldn't lie.
No, lying is bad.
But
I must never tell lies.
I am concerned about what this means for the UK, a country that has sort of famously given out a lot of international aid, a country that probably historically more than other countries should be giving out lots of international aid. As you know,
exactly.
Just, we know we're never going to, like, the UK is never going to apologise for slavery imperialism, but the fact that we had quite a high level of foreign aid, like encoded into our budget, is not an apology, but it's a way of saying we recognise the importance of it. But also, with the, you know, a lot of people will say, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I was in Washington rallying, but there was. He was saying that actually the UK probably does need more defence spending. We sort of seem to spend money constantly on expensive new shiny things, and then we realise that we can't use them. So we have two aircraft carriers that we can't use because we don't have enough destroyers or jets or pilots, to utilise them. So is an increase in defence funding. It probably is justified over the last 20 years, the UK probably has not invested that much into defence, and it probably did need a boost at some point.
This is the largest increase since the Cold War.
So does the UK arm, does the UK, you know, Army, Air Force, Navy need it? Yeah, probably. Is this probably the way you wanted to do it, by like they're using it to appease Donald Trump? No, and it's coming at the expense of something that I think a lot of people would argue is more important for the country.
Yeah. I think, so, the UK has always reached NATO's kind of goal of, like, how much countries give to defence. I think in 2014, they were one of the only countries in NATO who had reached that goal, and now basically every country has, but there's been it like calls by NATO saying you need to increase it by more than 2.5%. They want basically to increase to like 3%, which is an insane amount of money, which we don't have. but I wonder if the war with Ukraine does end, what's as Kisama gonna?
I reckon he'll probably. I mean,
he can't really back out. I guess.
I reckon he probably can. Like, remember in COVID, yeah. In COVID, Boris Johnson cut the 2.5% national aid.
Yes.
Perhaps you could argue sensibly because yeah, his job is to look after the country, but also, you know, the world was suffering.
Well, yeah.
But and then they sort of, once COVID was over, I think Rishi Sunak brought it back.
Yeah.
So, and you know, realistically, Donald Trump is not going to be keeping up with the intricacies of British politics. So this really is just a thing just a headline to create, like, to get on the front cover of some newspapers so that Donald Trump sees it, because I think, from what we know anyway, he basically spends most of his time watching Fox News, and if it can become an item of, but like, I reckon him dropping it won't be an item on Fox News. But again, as I said, like, maybe we see something positive come out of this.
Yeah, you know, I think
ultimately an increase on defence spending is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I think also there have been talks about how so the US has really welcomed this change, this increase in defence spending. So this is like a chance for the UK and the US to kind of, you know, patch up any quarrels, any spats.
Yeah, well, it's just quite, it must be just very irritating for Keir Starmer because,
yeah,
like,
it's like, oh, I have to do this because you won't, like,
but also,
like
it's just like the whole Elon Musk thing is like, I don't, like, it's trying to appease someone who, you know, will hate you, because as long as Elon Musk is sort of, you know, he's put himself as the leader of the world now, but like, as long as Elon Musk is like, hates Keir Starmer basically,
yeah,
and as long as he's got his position in government, I think it'd be very difficult for him to make any sort of impression on Donald Trump anyway. Like, is Elon Musk going to come to these meetings? Like,
it's a grave day when that does happen.
No, but like, I mean, he's meeting all the world leaders at this point,
yeah.
But he just hates, I think, obviously, because the UK now is the only, well, I think it will be the only G7 country with a left-wing party in power, or at least in the majority.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, well, Europe's turning right.
Exactly.
Very rapidly.
By, you know, France will probably, you know, Le Pen will probably be stronger by the end of the year. Canada will have a more right-wing lead at the end of the year. Germany.
Obviously Germany. Austria.
Yeah, Austria. But, like, yeah, you think about
Italy.
The G7, like, it's only us now, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I reckon that's why, you know, they're just backing any right-wing party that looks to get into power. But it's just going to make it quite difficult for the, because that's the problem, is that fundamentally, like, the UK is going, like, doing all this stuff, like, we're increasing our defence spending, we're doing all this stuff to make America like us and to make Donald Trump, you know, like us. But ultimately, they're never going to align politically.
Yeah.
Like, Keir Starmer is not very left-wing, he's sort of centre-left,
mm-hmm.
and Donald Trump is probably more far to the right than he'd probably enjoy in a president.
Yeah.
And they're very different personalities.
Yeah.
Like, Keir Starmer is a lawyer. He's very reserved. He's very sort of practical.
Yeah.
You know.
People called him boring.
He's very boring.
Yeah.
But like,
but he's a good man.
He's not like, if it was Boris Johnson, this would be great. Because Boris Johnson is,
well,
like,
it's just two Muppets with blonde,
like,
mops
Boris
on their
Johnson
head.
Is everything that Donald Trump would like about America. He's a sort of eccentric Englishman. You know?
Yes, blue passports.
Yeah, blue passports. You know, Donald Trump was.
Oh,
I think
Boris.
We could probably increase our defense spending for you, but for you, Donald.
Let's
and then
get
Donald,
him back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's trying to make his comeback.
Is he?
Yeah, of course he
That'd
is.
That'd be brilliant.
Because, like, but, like, that's a genuine thing he could sell. He's the only Prime Minister Donald Trump's ever liked. Do you remember that bit?
Because he sees himself in
remember
him.
Theresa May was Prime Minister and, like, he invited her to Chequers. She invited him to, Trump to Chequers, and he was like, well, I think Boris would be a great Prime Minister. He's just a great guy, and I love him.
He's just sexist, that's why.
Yeah, he didn't, like,
Like the woman.
He didn't like,
to be fair.
I don't think he didn't like powerful. He didn't like her, what was the other, Merkel. He hated Merkel.
Well, to be fair, all our three female prime ministers all have been a bit controversial.
Yeah. Labour never had a female prime minister. It's a real blind spot for them.
It's all
Tory leading the, you know.
Tory leading the.
They're the most progressive party in Parliament.
Yes.
First Kelly black woman knock? Leader.
Okay. Now, enough about Britain. I'm going to move to the US.
We did so well.
I know, so well. Talk about minerals.
Yes. So
sometimes. So this is, I guess, maybe slightly more positive because you. So before.
Is it more positive? I think
no,
it's
no,
really
no.
depressing.
No. Just caveat. I think what's positive is that Ukraine is now being introduced into talks. Slightly.
Yeah.
I think that's the only positive thing.
It's like if we all sat, I sat around, me and you were here, and James isn't, and me and you were talking, oh, we should probably take James's bike. You know, I need to cycle around. I'm a busy guy. And then I invite, and since James is outside, I invite James. Hey, James, come in. Can I have your bike? Cool. Bye, James. but more realistically, it's, hi, James, I'm going to stop supporting your war and your country if you don't give me your bike.
Well, look.
I think it's very depressing.
It is depressing.
I think it's sort of, it's America very much taking advantage of the fact that Ukraine can't really say no. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole Zelensky feud is weird. Like, it's so weird how, like, he's siding with Russia and people don't really care. Like,
who's people?
Like, the Americans, like the Fox News, like the
well, of course one, they don't. They're
sorry, not for, but like the American, like the world is basically.
Where are the Democrats?
Imagine, but like, you think about if any other country did this, it would be insane. Like,
but yeah, I don't know. I
like
think...
if Germany went, well, no, actually, you know, Russia are winning.
Mm.
So if you want us to keep funding you, you need to give us the thing that you're going to use to rebuild
well, I think
your country.
Because I think because US is its own entity, and the Europe, no matter how divided they are, is binded under NATO. Yeah. So I think if one of them would just turn around and be like, I'm pro-Russia,
also,
that kind of breaks
I
down.
Reckon we'll find out in, like, 20 years that this was one of the most... Because, like, Elon will get all of this stuff for his... For, like... I've just got a feeling that this will be, like, one of the most corrupt deals in US history,
yeah,
where, like,
that's gonna be,
it
like,
very
produced,
much seems
yeah.
like the materials that they want are materials you use to make batteries and electric cars.
Yes.
But anyway...
But basically, so Washington's dropped initial demands for a right to, like... Was it $500 billion in potential revenue from minerals?
But it's just like... But
he hasn't given firm security guarantees, which is what is scary.
But also, if there is a world country in the world that could probably use $500 billion worth of minerals, it's probably Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like, what? Uh-huh. I don't really understand. Like, I also just think, like...
So the Brits making
maybe from a
richer.
Ukrainian point of view, like, this you're losing your future here. Is this not the point where you just... Where you go, like... Maybe we go to the table and see what we can get.
Yeah.
Like you're they're in a between a rock and a hard place, obviously. But like, you know, I don't know what else Ukraine has in terms of resources. I'm not a Ukrainian expert.
No, well, neither.
But surely like their minerals are sort of a large part of what they were going to use to rebuild the country economically.
Yeah.
And if they're throwing that away, to continue a war, then they're never going to win. Like, if it's realistic,
no.
like, unless America, Europe, Britain actually put troops on the ground in Ukraine,
never
Ukraine are not
going
to win this war.
Yeah.
Is and then do we get to the point with Zelensky, and I don't agree he's a dictator, but do we get to the same point with, like, that Netanyahu was at, where he's basically increasing the length of the war to stay in power? Like,
yeah,
is Zelensky, like, you've got to think, is Zelensky...
Well, I just think, like, at the moment, Ukraine can't have an election.
No, obviously Ukraine can't have an election. That's the same thing, but, like, you could argue Netanyahu was in very similar circles. Like, he's not a dictator, but like...
Netanyahu's a war criminal.
Yeah, he's obviously a war criminal as well, so, you know...
Yeah, I don't know.
But do you not think, like, the war ends, like... If the war ends, he has to have an election.
Yeah, I don't think he'll make it. I think you need someone strong in a post-war world.
Like, did Zelensky sort of have his moment?
Well, that's what I... So if we can compare that to Churchill. So Churchill was perfect for World War II. But he, as soon as 1945 rolled around, Attlee came in.
They didn't
want Churchill. They thought he was a wacko, basically.
And then 5 years later...
And then 5 years later, he came back.
But fun British trivia fact here. That is one of two elections in British history where the person who won without the majority of the people's vote.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the... What, one
I don't
of
know
the two
other one. But I just remember... No, I remember reading that. So, technically, in today's system in Britain, he would have lost.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Clement Attlee, sort of weirdly known as one of the greatest prime ministers, but...
Weirdly.
But no, but like, again, he only did one term.
Yeah.
But he introduced a lot of stuff that, obviously, the NHS. But it'll be interesting. I worry that... Basically, I worry that this is a way of Zelensky keeping power instead of thinking about Ukraine's future.
Mm-hmm,
because I just worry... Like, always just going to be a scenario where America's going to do what it's probably done for hundreds of years right now, is like... They're probably just going to sell it back to them, aren't they?
What?
The minerals.
I mean, it's basically blackmail.
Yeah, it would. Well, yeah,
and I think
this is
just going to be like held over Ukraine for many years to come. But I think Zelensky's looking at it like they're not going to make a deal with Russia, so they have to make a deal with the US, and by that means you make a deal with Russia, kind of. I think. I don't know. I think like. Ukraine is so exhausted, and Europe's not gonna. I mean, they're gonna increase spending or defense spending, but they're not gonna actively fight.
Yeah.
So really, you have two options. Basically, you can either. I mean, it's. I think someone put it as like a, like the lesser of two evils. It's like you either continue fighting a war, which is just gonna exhaust your economy even further, or. And just make a deal with the devil.
But also, for Donald Trump, it's also like, now that he's got this deal, it must put him in a really weird position, because it's like, okay, well, I've got what I wanted, but what I actually wanted was the war to end.
Yeah.
Like, he's made revenue. Like, it's a good deal for America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting some of their money back. But I think if Zelensky said, look, I'll just negotiate with Russia.
Yeah.
But I think he wants the tagline ended all wars in the Biden era.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that probably will happen.
Probably will happen. I mean, you see that with Israel as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, technically the wars are ending, but not in great ways.
No. And
that doesn't matter to Trump.
If this still happens, do you think the war in Ukraine will end this year? Because I don't really get the terms of it. So is it?
I don't really understand what the mineral.
So
deal
they. So from what I read is basically that the US will get 50% of the profits that Ukraine get off their natural resources.
Yeah, I basically think that having an American economic interests will deter further Russian aggression.
I think it's basically them setting down, basically saying what's left of Ukraine is now Ukraine. Like, and America's now invested in that bit of Ukraine.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of setting up for what I think was always going to happen, which is they're going to lose the two regions and Crimea.
Well, now you have, like, a weird situation where the US he's got economic interests in Ukraine, but Trump also wants to make a weird deal with Putin. Like, not a deal with Putin, but siding with Putin.
Yeah, and I think the problem is now that Putin has so much power. In like the negotiations and everything.
Well, Putin obviously is a holdover Trump. In some weird way we don't know much about.
Is he a Russian spy?
Who knows? Anyway, I think that's all we have time for. It's been a good one.
Yeah.
I think we got
we
through a lot.
Invite James back.
That was no Russian history, but that's not our forte anyway.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed. And we'll see you next week.